I have Owen O'Brien on the phone now, so I'm going to have to fade that off, Gabrielle. I hope you enjoyed that little bit of Tiny Dancer there from Elton John for Gabrielle. Now, Owen, are you there?
I am indeed, yes. Good morning.
Excellent. Good. Now, so it happens to be the third anniversary of Rebuilding Ireland. That's Minister Murphy's terminology. Let's get Ireland built. And you slammed the minister there the other week by saying that basically all he had to offer were gentrified tenements. I love it. I like that term. So tell us, what do you think? Give us a background to why you came out with that and what you think will happen now.
But it's 3 years last Friday since Rebuilding Ireland, the government action plan on housing was launched by the then housing minister, Simon Coveney. And at that point, the government was saying that this was going to be the greatest or largest ever investment in public housing. And over it, 5 years, it was going to tackle the housing crisis. And the problem is, according to the government's own figures, on a range of indicators, in fact, the crisis has simply got worse year on year. So, for example, if you look at homelessness has increased by almost 70% since 2016. So around the time Rebuilding Ireland was launched, there was about 4,000 adults and children in emergency accommodation. We now have over 10,000. In fact, by some estimates, it could be as high as 13,000. So very clearly on the homelessness front, Rebuilding Ireland isn't making things better. But also look at the plight of renters, for example, particularly people entering the rental market today. Average rents have gone up almost 40% since 2016. The average rent is about €1,300, but in fact, in many parts of Dublin, it's pushing beyond €2,000 a month for standard family accommodation. House prices have also increased, so that's pushing first-time buyers out of the market. So something like 24% increase. And I suppose on two of the key delivery targets, the overall number of homes completed, both private and public, but also the level of housing need and the social housing waiting list, and both make for very grim reading. Government plan says that there should be on average 25,000 new homes completed every year over the 5 years of the plan. Last year there was only 18,000, the year before 14,000, the year before 9. So they're way behind on the overall completion targets. And of course, with social housing, while they are meeting their targets, their targets are so low that they're not even significantly reducing existing demand, let alone new demand. So it doesn't matter if you need affordable accommodation, social housing accommodation, if you're looking to get out of emergency accommodation, or if you just want to buy your own home in the private market. Across all of those indicators, Rebuilding Ireland is failing. And on the day of the anniversary, Owen Murphy did a high-profile interview where he talked about this co-living concept. So this is the idea that people would spend 1,300 or 1,200 euros a month for a self-contained, essentially, exit of around 12 to...
Sorry, Owen, I seem to be losing your... Every second word I'm losing, it's a pretty bad line.
All right, I'm sorry about that. Is that any better for you?
That is a little bit better, yes, yes.
Okay, so on the anniversary of Rebuilding Ireland, Owen Murphy was talking of this co-living concept, where you're spending 12 or 1,300 euros a month to live in essentially a small bed set of 12 to 16 square metres with some trendy restaurant and entertainment facilities on the ground floor. And if somehow that was some part of the solution to a housing crisis. We need affordable homes for people to rent and buy. We need social homes for those who can't afford the economic cost of accommodation. And Rebuilding Ireland isn't delivering either.
Definitely not. And I mean, especially there are so many families and children out there now homeless, and they're in bed and breakfasts and places and hubs around the country. These, what he's trying to make out is a boutique type hotel scenario. I mean, this really, it's actually laughable if it wasn't such a serious situation. And you kind of wonder, what is he actually thinking? You know, is he thinking at all?
Well, when I first heard of this co-living concept, I kind of thought, well, you know, if there's a small amount of it, and maybe you have some young professionals working in the tech sector or Google, and that it might be so bad. But actually, the more I looked at it, and I actually met with one of the leading companies a couple of weeks ago, The Connective, who have just bought a site in Thumbly Lane in Dublin 8. Actually, the impact of this is very significant. So first of all, it's not right that people should be expected to be 12 or 1300 euros a month to live in essentially glorified bedsits, no matter how good the entertainment and the food product and offer. But also, the real problem with co-living is the companies that are buying the land to develop these facilities are pushing up private land for everybody. So in Thumbly Lane, for example, where The Collective have bought a site for 10 million, that site was originally priced at about 4 million. So they doubled the price of the land. And there was originally planning permission on that to build 37 apartments. And they're now going to look to put 200 to 250 co-living units in there. So what that means is anybody who owns any land in Dublin 8 is going, well, hang on a second, why would I build standard apartments for families or young working people when we could have co-living? And add that on to the high-end student accommodation and high-end hotel accommodation that's already been crammed into Dublin 8. And you have the perfect storm, which would be pushing out any genuine residential accommodation, whether affordable or social, for the people who live there and need that accommodation. So it has a really toxic impact on our overall housing system, particularly in our urban core. And for that reason, I think the government shouldn't allow it to proceed and should rescind the planning regulations that were introduced last year to permit such developments until such time as our housing system has stabilised.
Definitely. I just they seem to not want to put anything into social housing. There seems to be a real, they're reticent in that, and they seem to want to let developers take over and people, you know, buying their homes. They're coming up with these crazy schemes, but yet what's needed is funding in social housing.
Well, I'll say a couple of things. First of all, there is social housing being built and bought, so we have to be factual about this. And last year, there was approximately 7,000 units of social housing added to the stock, whether built or bought by local authorities or approved housing bodies. The problem is that last year, 14,000 households came onto the local authority housing waiting lists. So not only are we not dealing with the historic demand that's been built up over a period of time, we're also not meeting the new demand that's coming on stream. And at the same time, the government keeps funneling ever greater numbers of people into subsidised private rental accommodation through the HAP scheme. And of course, that crowds out other renters, it's very expensive for the state, and it's not secure tenancy for the families living in it. But I suppose the bigger problem is, it's not just that the government aren't funding enough social housing, they're also funding virtually no affordable housing for those families who aren't on the local authority housing waiting list, but can't afford to rent or to buy because of high prices. So what many of us are now arguing is we need to change the way which the government thinks about housing completely. And instead of arguing for social housing for people on the council waiting list, we want public housing for a far greater range of people, people who are waiting for social housing, people who need affordable rental accommodation, and people who need affordable purchase. And therefore, instead of producing 7,000 or 8,000 social housing units, we need the government to producing 14,000 or 15,000 public homes a year to cater for social and affordable housing needs. That's public housing on public land at subsidised and affordable rents. And if they started to do that, you'd start to see some real reduction in the level of the crisis.
Well, yes, definitely. I mean, it's the supply and demand thing where that's why the price of houses is so bad at the moment. And maybe if there were more public housing being built, pricing would come down also. It would help in that.
But if you think about it this way, we have 100,000 households who are living in the private rental sector, subsidised by the state through HAP, RAS and rent supplement, mm-hmm. who should be in social housing. Now, if over the space of a decade you moved all of those people out of the private rental sector and into the social housing that they need, that would free up 100,000 homes, which then renters or first-time buyers could purchase. And if you had that extra 100,000 homes available, you know, 20,000 of them or 10,000 of them every year, that would have a really significant impact on supply and on price. And at the same time, if the government was also investing in affordable rental accommodation, so this would be publicly owned properties, but working families over the threshold for social housing would get tenancies of indefinite duration at rents of, say, between 700 or 900 euros a month for a city centre apartment. industry and translation. That would also further drive down the cost of rent. So, for example, in Vienna, where they have a lot of this public affordable accommodation to rent, they call it cost rental. That not only is good for the people who live in that rental accommodation, but it dampens down prices for everybody else, so everybody benefits. So in some senses, the increase in social housing would also benefit those people who aren't eligible for social housing, but who want to rent or buy, as would a significant public investment program in affordable rental and affordable purchase homes. And that's why we need to see a doubling of capital investment in public housing over the next decade to start to provide the homes that people so desperately need.
And do you think, I mean, I'm sure yourself and your colleagues are trying to push for this. Does Owen Murphy seem anyway, you know, is he taking it on board? Is he going to change this? Or to me, it just seems like he's on breakfast TV and everything, trying to sell this co-living. And this seems to be the only way he's going down.
Well, what he will say is that the government are supporting the public housing project in St. Michael's Estate in Inchy Core, a really good development where we'll have over 500 apartments, 30% social, 70% affordable rental, with a public library and park and some retail space. But the difficulty is it's only one project. Likewise, the government will say they're making 100 million euros available each year over the next 3 years to local authorities for affordable purchase housing projects. Again, that's true. But it's only going to deliver about 6,000 units, and none of those are going to be delivered for a year or two. So it's almost like they're dipping their toe in some of these types of initiatives rather than committing completely to them and saying, this is where we're going to go in terms of major public investments. And it's significant that the entire opposition supports what I'm advocating here. Last October, just before the budget, 40 opposition TDs, myself included, tabled a housing motion that was then endorsed by the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, the National Women's Council of Ireland, Union of Students of Ireland, and a host of housing and homeless organisations under the Raise the Roof banner that called for a doubling of investment in capital funding for public housing, increase in social and affordable housing, and a range of other measures. Fianna Fáil, who didn't sign the motion, did support the motion, voted through the Dáil, and that's a very significant statement. However, since then, we haven't seen any significant shift in government policy, and I think until we put the government and Fianna Fáil under more pressure, unfortunately, we're going to see more of the same between now and Budget 2020.
And will there be any more Raise the Roof rallies?
Absolutely. So Raise the Roof has been meeting in recent weeks to decide what our plan of activities are after the summer, and we'll be announcing those probably at the end of August or early September. And this is a really key coalition because it's civil society led. It represents 750,000 workers. It represents civil society, housing and homeless organisations, and a very considerable body of Oireachtas opinion as well. So watch this space, because there'll be a lot more from Raise the Roof in the months ahead.
Definitely. And we'll have you on then to talk about that. Hopefully some good things will come out of it and start moving. Yes, Owen, we'll start moving in the right direction. But you keep putting the pressure on. Thanks so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Thanks, Owen.